Well, bless you, saints. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. I'm just going to make this announcement now before I mess it all up. So on the 7th to the 10th of January next month, there will be some special meetings in Auckland at Upper Room Tabernacle Summer Church. And Brother Howard will be the guest speaker there. That's with, Brother Morris the Fatu and his... Oh, and South African brothers. So if anybody would like to go to those meetings, if you would talk to Brother Paul, and so we can get some numbers about who would like to go. Is there going to be transport or anything like that? Okay. So, yeah. Numbers to Brother Paul, and then we'll arrange some sort of transport, whether you... carpool or something like that. Accommodation and the food is supplied, so that's not something you have to worry about. But if there's anything else, Brother Howard can fill in all the gaps. There's something else as well, no, it's just left in my mind. On that weekend as well, if like myself, I won't be going, we will be having a service here in the morning and a luncheon. So whether we have a Brother Brian Freeborn message or something like that, we'll arrange that and pass the information out if that's right. And also this afternoon we'll have a short service after the luncheon just of carols and praise and worship. So just keep that in mind. Let's just bow our heads in prayer at this time. Welcome our Lord Jesus here. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and we say welcome. Welcome, Lord, and we just pray that you would come and speak to our hearts, Lord, as you lift our hands in worship, Lord, and give you praise and glory, Lord, for your grace, Lord, and your mercy in our lives, Lord, that you would cause us to be here this morning and come into your house, Lord, before your throne of grace, Lord, and we just pray a blessing upon those that are away, Lord, and those that might listen into the service as well. May you be their portion, Lord, at their time of listening. We commit all things into your hands at this time. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's sing number 172, Majesty, Worship His Majesty.
Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto so
So glad I'm a part of the family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined yes with Jesus as we travel. Everywhere I go, I talk about my faith.
181 is going to be amazing in the year. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet pine.
We'll just sing 179. Great is the Lord, and then I'll ask us to pull in and should bring your item.
Great is the Lord. Great be to be praised in the city of the God, in the mountains of his holy name.
Sing it one more time.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holy name. Great Lord, he wakes you, the joy. Sign on the sides of the moon, the city of the great king.
Amen. You may be seated at this time. Bless you, our two visitors here. Nice to see you here. Hope you feel comfortable and welcome this morning. Thank you, Sister Pauline. Was there any other items as well this morning? No?
Favorite. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is calm.
view. Beautiful. Thank you, Brother Charlie, if you would bring your autumn at this time.
In the depth of the sea, and you carried my guilt far away, as far as the east is from the west. You removed my transgression from me, so I'll tell of your love, and I'll sing of your mercy, and I'll walk in your liberty, and I'll live in the awesome light of your light, 'cause I know that I am free, 'cause I know that I am free. Buried my sin in the depth of the sea, and you carried my guilt far away, as far as the east is from the west. You removed my transgressions from me, so I'll sing of your love, and I'll sing of your mercy, and I'll walk in your liberty, and I'll live in the awesome light of your grace, 'cause I know that I am free, 'cause I know that I am free, 'cause I know that I am free.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. It was a blessing to have you sing, Charlie. Do you know what? It takes faith to believe that. That your transgressions are, you cast them into a sea of forgetfulness. You know, you can receive that by faith and walk in that liberty that he's given us. There was no new prayer requests on the internet, and I don't have the list of the old ones, but is there any here this morning that anybody would like to mention? Brother Bill. Remember that. I mean, we'll just remember it as well. Is there any others? Any unspoken prayer requests signified by a raised hand? Let's just bring them before our Lord. Sorry. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we come before you, Lord, this morning, Lord, knowing that, like many of these situations, Lord, there's nothing that we can do, Lord. We can't help in any way. We're not Lord, doctors and surgeons and things like that, but we come before the Almighty God, Lord, who is able to undertake for every single need that we have, Lord, physical, spiritual, Lord, whether it's emotional or whatever, Lord, you can intervene upon our part, Lord. So we just come before you, Lord, in prayer, lifting these needs up before you, Lord. This pregnant woman, Lord, who's having rheumatic fever, Lord, and Lord, we wouldn't know what it's like until we're in that situation, Lord, and how we would want the brethren, Lord, to be praying for us, Lord. So we just bring her before you, Lord. May you intervene in a special way, Lord, and may it be to your glory, Lord Jesus, that Almighty God has undertaken for her, Lord Jesus. So we just pray, Lord, that you would be in that situation, Lord. We just remember Bill's eye at this time, Lord. May you just reach down your healing hand of mercy, Lord, and help him to recover as well, Lord Jesus. And we just commit, Lord, the prayer requests that were on the internet, Lord, a lot of them for physical touch, Lord, great needs, people with heart trouble and all these sorts of things, Lord Jesus, that you're more than able to deliver them from, Lord. So we just bring them before your throne of grace and commit them into your hands at this time for your glory and for your praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just have one more and then I'll ask Brother Hill to come. It's a lovely, lovely name. The name of Jesus.
It's a lovely, lovely name, the name of Jesus. It's a lovely, lovely name from heaven above. Dispelling the clouds of hell and fear, filling the sand, his heart.
Sing 170, because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Seated at this time. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
It's a big bright spot on that car window. It's all right. It'll go down. We just love the Lord. We thank Him for His goodness to us. We welcome you all here and any visitors. Our brother and sister, I haven't seen you before. Have you been here before? Well, it's great to have you.
Amen.
Lord bless you. And any of those joining with us on the internet, it's really good to have you here too. Just a note about this Up Room Tabernacle Summer Camp in the Methodist Campground in Camp Morley in Beach Road in Auckland, Clark's Beach in Auckland. They're providing, we've had this invitation sent to us by the pastor down there, Brother Cuban, Pillay from South Africa. He's actually a policeman in Auckland now, but he's a really good brother. He's given us a very warm welcome, and you're all welcome to go. Your accommodation's taken care of. It's a proper campsite. All the food's taken care of. All you have to do is turn up. That's a pretty good offer. And we had 4 services, and I'm sure it'll be a good time. There's quite a number of brethren, Brother Stephen and Sister Tina coming down from Northland, and others coming from other places. So we just pray to be a really, really rich time in the Lord. So I just want to bring that to your attention. If anybody needs any transport or anything, just let us know. We could probably work something somehow. So just remember that. The camp, it's right on the beachfront. It's very beautiful. And I'm sure we'll have a great time in the Lord. Great singing. A few islanders, Niueans. There may be some Tongans too, Brother Pess, if he finds out. and others there, so I'm sure it'll be a good time. They're good people. We know them quite well. Hoping that Brother Morris Tefatu from Niue Island will come as well, and his family. That'll be really wonderful. So just remember that. And I think we mentioned about the carol singing after the luncheon today. We want some good voices. Some of these carols have real inspiration. They sing the truth. They really do. And I'm going to mention it today, one of them. And so I really encourage you to come. It won't be a long time, probably maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes, a time of singing and praise and any testimonies. Brother Charlie, how was your outreach? Come and tell us, brother. Come and tell us. There we go. You just tell us what happened there.
Praise the Lord. The hand of God was upon everything. And we were well and truly blessed in Rutoria and Tokumaru Bay. They were good hosts. Good hosts. That's why I've got a little bit of a... You know, over here. But no, we enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But the main thing of all was that God is moving by His Spirit. Amen. And I believe that He's going to move to the whole of the East Coast. That's in my heart. I believe that God is moving by His Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that these things are going to be accomplished, not by man, not by woman, not by anybody, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's all going to be about the Holy Spirit. And nothing about us, but it's all to glory to God. And I give Him all the glory and all the praise that He should be glorified. And, you know, I was thinking this morning, and I was just looking up, and I said, geez, you know, the star, you know, when Jesus was born, it came from the east. Yes. And then someone said, you know, what, is there something that good that comes out of Bethlehem? So I had a bit of a chuckle, and I said, gee, is there something good going to come out of Rutoria, you know, from the coast? So I had a good laugh, you know, I had a bit of a laugh myself. I thought I was going a bit crazy, but no, I think it's all with God anyway. So God bless.
Brother Reef, would you
too? Yeah. There's another guy at the back there, that's Reefy. Yeah. I don't know whether he wants to come up and share a little bit about it too as well. No? No, he doesn't want it.
He's a good
guitarist. Yeah. Yeah, I used to be a shy guy like him, but God is starting to change everything around, so praise God.
Yes, you don't know what will happen. Souls up the coast, Brother Bill. I'm just going to reach out to them and see what God has in store for us all. Praise God. So I've just got a little message, maybe a Christmas message this morning, but I pray that God will speak to our hearts. And I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6. Entitled this message, Unto Us a Child is Born. And it's maybe not the traditional Christmas story that some would preach, you know, away in a manger. There had to be a manger. There had to be a time for him to be born. That's very important. But it's more than just, well, let's just preach it, shall we? Let's turn to Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. That identifies him. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just come to thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that the Holy Ghost will be here this morning to quicken your word to our hearts, to mine especially, Lord, and to the saints listening. Those joining us overseas, Lord, may they be blessed too, encouraged. We ask it in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So in verse 6 it says, this son was given. And you know, something really struck me today. The son was given. Christ Jesus, the babe in Bethlehem, as our brother was talking about, was given. He was given by God, and he was God, manifest in the flesh. The Bible says it, we just read it. The mighty God, the everlasting Father. And you know, brother and sister, this is an amazing thing that sort of came to me, is that God had to rectify the fault, terrible fault of sin. It had to be rectified. And God was offended that his creation had sinned against him. And he had to do something about it. Otherwise, everyone would be lost and go to a lost eternity. But you know what he did? He came down himself. The offense was against him, and he became the reconciler. To reconcile you and me back to God. Isn't that wonderful? So wonderful. And I just pray that God will make that real to us as we consider these things. And, you know, he was given. So he was given to mankind. It says, we know the scripture very well in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. He handed him over as a sacrifice for your sin. And what you and I are responsible to do is receive what he has done for us. By faith say, I accept, Lord, the redeeming grace of your sacrifice at Calvary. Praise the Lord. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Isn't God good? Saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So wonderful, isn't it? So wonderful. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, which being interpreted is God with us. So God was with us when he sent Jesus down. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Praise be to God. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Hallelujah. So this is a wonderful, wonderful story. A very wonderful story. Praise the Lord for summertime. So, this one more reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 29, which says, "For whom he did foreknow, God foreknew all of us. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So wonderful. We will see what that means shortly. So this child born was God's best gift to man. Absolutely. A son is given. If he didn't give him, you'd all be lost this morning. And that's the truth. So it's been availed. He's availed to give us his son. So let us redeem the opportunity by faith and receive what he's done for us. Not just a baby in the manger. You know, they have these babies in the manger, but a Savior was born. In Luke 2, verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds biding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were sore afraid." I would be too. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What glorious news that was. Praise be to God. So the angel brought good tidings of great joy. Who to? All the people. To all the people of the world, it says in verse 10. Good tidings, a Savior to all the people on the earth. Now, if you don't get saved, that's your problem. God went to a lot of trouble to save you. But you've got to receive it. Every one of you got to receive the Lord yourself. Not your wife, your husband, or the preacher, or the church. You have to make that decision. I want to receive Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for my sin. When his blood, sinless blood, ran at Calvary, it ran for you. And it ran for me. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord? We're so blessed to have a wonderful Savior. So we just thank God for this. And Jesus was prophesied to come and to be born as a child. But the prophecy never stopped there. When God speaks, it continues on. It never, nothing fails when God speaks. It was also revealed who the child was. As we read in Isaiah 9:6, "And unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." This is identification of our Lord. "The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So this child was none other than Almighty God himself, born in flesh. Known as the Son of God. So we thank God for sending him. In John chapter 1, verse 1, I've got a few scriptures, so I'm just going to keep it going. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This was God. This is God in print. Then in verse 14 it says, of the same chapter of John 1, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word was made flesh. It was God, Almighty God, walking around in a human body that He created in the womb of Mary. Now, you don't hear people mentioning these things at Christmas time. But even the Christmas carols we're speaking of, written under inspiration, declare this revelation. One of them says, Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold Him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Nailed the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with God to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. He was God with us. Furthermore, He didn't just have a natural body. Jesus had a spiritual body. This is a great significance. We're going to speak on it a wee bit. In Romans 8:29, it says, For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. Now this image it speaks of, the image of His Son, is not speaking about His facial image. Or is it speaking of His physical stature. Or He to wear a Nazarene garment. No. It's speaking of His nature image. To be like Christ. Who wants to be like the Lord? I just want to be like Him. I don't be like anyone else except Christ and Him alone. Now, few understood this purpose at His coming. Many rejoiced in Bethlehem, but most failed to perceive His destiny. Yes. It's not just a little baby in the manger with a sheep and cows mooing and straw. Far beyond all that, brothers and sisters. That's all you see. That's fair enough. I'm not against that because that's what happened. But Jesus, the baby, had a chilling assignment. Yes. Think about it. He had a chilling assignment and a fixed purpose. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was born to die. Every sheep out on the pastures here is born to die. Brother Andrew knows that because that's where he works. And how many sheep you see coming through there? They are born to die. That's their calling. And this, our Lord and Savior, is the Lamb of God. And now this is never told in the Christmas story, but Jesus said this very thing to Pilate. Listen to what He said to Pilate, the Roman governor. In John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. He says, To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should appear, bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So he confessed it, even to his enemies, that I was born for this purpose. The prophecies speak about it clearly. So we see today, all we see today is, as I said, a pretty manger, but we never see an old rugged cross. Because that baby has to hang on that cross for you to live and have eternal life. But the prophecies were full of His purpose and destiny. There's so much we could spend all day just speaking about the prophecies of his coming. But we don't have that time at the moment. And John the Baptist, he was one of the few who had a revelation of his purpose. He was. They just didn't know. They just thought he was a prophet and a good man. But it says in John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb that has to die, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And the only way he could take away our sin and my sin and your sin was to die a sinless sacrifice. Don't you love the Lord Jesus? We're lost without him, brother and sister. So we need to, he gave his all for you. You need to give your all for him. So John's declaration was word-based, as every true minister should be. In Isaiah 53, it's just everywhere. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Iniquity is know not to do something and you still do it. That's iniquity. It's a terrible sin. The sin of iniquity. And they put it on the Lord Jesus. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. That's right, Brother Andrew. To the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Do you realize Jesus could have got out of Calvary? He could have got out of Calvary and you would have perished. I love the Lord. Hallelujah. So where was Isaiah's, we just read from Isaiah's prophecy, fulfilled? You see, that prophecy we just read, as a lamb to a slaughter, as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. That was prophesied 700 years before it happened. God knows everything. He knows all about us. In Matthew 27 we read, and when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. He didn't say a word. They brought all the false accusations against him. Never opened his mouth. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witnessed against thee? And he answered him to never a word. Insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. But that was in the prophecy. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. 700 years before it happened. Who believes in God?
Amen.
So clear. Absolutely. The prophecy of the Word of God is dead accurate. Oh, it's just so wonderful to have our Lord. Now, Jesus knew his purpose of being born. In Mark 9:31, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man, that's him, is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he's killed, he shall rise the third day. Ooh, yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That should make you excited, because when he rose, you rise.
Hallelujah.
If you're in Christ by faith, you die with him and you rise with him. It's a whole sermon on that, Brother Taz. It's everywhere in the Bible. So Jesus knew. And he'd rise the third day. And they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. Now Jesus taught his disciples. But you know, it has to be revealed to them. You'll never understand God until he reveals himself to you. I cannot do it. I'd love to, but I cannot. No man can teach you. The Holy Spirit has to teach you. He is the teacher. Man's not the teacher. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. The Bible says so. Jesus told them more than once of the purpose of his birth. See, nobody can teach you it. Even though they heard it, later on they found out. They preached it all over the world. But they didn't know at the time. But it was given, it's given to you by God alone. Jesus was fixed to redeem you and I. I love this part of the sermon. Jesus was fixed to redeem you and I. This is great news, Sister Wainui. It's wonderful. In Luke 9:51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up at Calvary, he steadfastly set his face towards Jerusalem. Jesus had an assignment. He had a job to do, was to redeem you. And his heart was fixed. He set his face towards Jerusalem, Brother Harold. Isn't that wonderful? Tell the people up the coast that one, brother. Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. To be received up as an offering for your sin and my sin. As we said, it was about 700 years ago, the Old Testament prophecy concerning setting his face. It speaks of it there. 700 years before it happened. Listen to it. Isaiah 50:6-7. I gave my back to the smiters. Those Roman soldiers with the cat of nine tails. They whipped him. And they had little sharp things on the end of those. They ripped his skin. You know, Jesus loved you more than you'll ever understand to go through this. And my cheeks to the smiters, them that plucked off the hair. I don't have a beard, but it must be very painful. They ripped it out of his beard. He must have been bleeding and very painful. And I hid not my face, it says in the prophecy, from shame, because he was stripped naked, and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Now listen to this. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. The prophecy talks about him setting his face like a flint. And the Bible says he steadfastly set his face towards Jerusalem. Praise be to God. Face like flint. Now, the word flint, we know we used to have flint. You used to light a cigarette lighter with it, not me. But they have a flint in there. And it makes a spark, and then it lights up the flame. But flint, the word flint actually means it's a hard stone. Very hard or unyielding. So Jesus was unyielding. I'm going to Jerusalem because I have people in Gisborne that I want to redeem. He was such a wonderful character. Not was, he is. That describes Jesus' intent in going through to Calvary. No one was going to stop him saving you or me. I've got a lovely quotation I want to read to you. What's Jesus doing? He's got his eyes set to Calvary. He's going straight to Jerusalem to be offered up for a sacrifice. The weight of every sin that was ever committed on earth or ever would be committed rested upon his precious shoulders. He was a big man. When people say bad things about you, if you can just go on and forget it, that shows you are a big man. Little men can't tamper with it. But he was too big to listen to their criticism. He had one thing to do. That was the Father's will. He had to die for those men. So he kept going with his face set towards Calvary. You can imagine the strain on him. And seeing yonder of Gethsemane and the agonies of Golgotha, he saw that. He would have seen it by vision. God would have shown him what was coming. And forsaking, and been forsaken of God. God forsook Jesus at the cross for you. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God could not remain on Jesus with all your slime and sin all over him. A holy God could not identify himself with sin. Jesus was made sin for us, the Bible says so. Goes on to say, his shoulders were rubbing on that cross when he's walking with it. Terrible pain. He'd been whipped. All his skin was broken. He was bleeding. That heavy cross, Roman cross, was actually rubbing on his shoulders. Again, became too much for him. He collapsed under the load. Who knows the Bible? And they had to ask somebody to come and help him up and carry that cross for him. It's too much because he was just a man, remember. Jesus was just a man in the physical, but he is all God in the spiritual. Hallelujah. And there he is. His face bleeding, his wounds, all was on him, even to his scream, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He had you in mind. If he didn't go through with it, Brother Keith, it would all be history. This is very wonderful. Who loves the Lord? We should praise him and glorify him for what he has done for us. In such agony until the water and the blood separated and dropped from his brow. Nothing, only extreme agony would do that. All that was resting upon him. Yes, this child of God was born. Now he had to set his face towards Calvary. But remember, the good thing about it, the disciples ran for their lives like frightened kittens. They shot off, everyone took off. He's left alone. Remember this, brother and sister, he's a man at this point. He was left alone. All the disciples gone. Everyone, even his own disciples, betrayed him. And God forsook him. And he did that for you. That you may be made clean and ready for heaven. Because he took your judgment because of your sin. Who loves the Lord? Say amen. Amen. And to the disciples, they thought this was the end. They all thought, this is the end. Yeah, Peter said, I'm going back fishing. Oh, no. It wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. Yes. Just the beginning. What looked to be a defeat was actually a great victory. The Jews believed it was the end, but we can see it was a brand new beginning. This firstborn of Mary ended his life at the cross, dying for you and me. But when he rose again, he was the firstborn of a new creation. The firstborn of many brethren, which I believe many brethren are here this morning and out on the internet. Wherever this is going, I believe many brethren are going to be born into this new kingdom because Jesus paid the price. I love him. If you love the Lord, say, praise God. Just checking. Make sure you do love him. You ought to love him because he gave his all for you. He wants you to give your all for him. In Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, including here this morning. He made it possible for you and I to cross over from death unto life. We all must cross over by faith, or we perish. You stay here in this natural life, that's it. Oh, everything's great here. This is how it is with me. I'm happy with life. Listen, if you don't cross over to that new life, you're finished. There's nothing after death for you except a lost eternity. But the wonderful part is it's easy to cross over to eternal life. It's not complicated. You don't have to go to university. You don't have to study for years and years to cross over. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation." Oh, hallelujah. "But is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Hallelujah, brother Tatu. We're coming out of the ground. That's everything when you're in the ground. Like we said, we had a funeral here some time ago. We had the coffin here, and I said to the people, we had a good crowd here too. I said, just remember this. Time goes on. Every one of you are going to get into this box. You've all got to get into the boxes. That's clear. You're going to have to get into that coffin. That's not the important part. It's getting out. Amen. Getting out of the coffin. Been risen from the dead as Christ rose, so shall we rise. Amen. That's why he died. Don't you love the Lord Jesus? Let's say hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for your eternal salvation. Sorry for getting excited, but something to be excited about. Hallelujah. So what hour awaits the children of God? This firstborn of Mary opened the door to a new life for us. In Hebrews 10:19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the by the blood of Jesus, the only way you're going to get into the holy presence of God is through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. That is your only way. It's not being a good person. It's not going to church every day. It's more than that. You must believe that Jesus died for you. Hallelujah. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Oh, just so wonderful. Jesus became more than the firstborn of Mary. This is a spiritual family we're belonging to. There's no natural connections in this new family birth. Not a natural connection. Oh, you're born through your mother and father. No, no. This one into Christ is born by faith in the Son of God. Jesus said, You must, not maybe, you must be born again. Amen. To enter this, his family. Jesus told the people very clearly, I belong to another family. Jesus said so. He made it. You know, brother, sister, it's not my opinion. It's what God's word says. Now listen to what he says. In Mark 3:32, "And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy brother and thy brethren," thy brothers and sisters, naturally, born of Mary, "are without the crowd seeking for you. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren, my brothers and my sisters? Who are they?" And he looked around about them, which sat about him, all sitting on the ground, listening to his words. He looked at every one of them. And he said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." He, in a sense, he deserted his natural family, looking at that statement. But he's speaking of the spiritual family, the eternal family. Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Who wants to be related to the Lord Jesus? Amen. Just do his will. Just do what his word says for you to do. We sing that song. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Hallelujah. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he has given us power. For what? Yes, and to become sons and daughters of God. He said in John 1:12, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power." You need the power of the Holy Ghost to become a son of God. You say, I'm going to be a son of God. I'm going to go down to the church at Nelson Road and I'm going to sit in the pew every Sunday. That won't do it. You can't. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost to come upon you, and you are born again of the Spirit and filled with the Holy Ghost. Then you become a child of God. Who's glad? Hallelujah. I think we've got some sons and daughters here. I believe, and if you want to be, you can be. Jesus died for the sins of the world. The Bible says so, the sins of the world. Because I can't be saved, you're not telling the truth. That's a lie. Yes. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What do you have to do? Just believe that he died for you. That's too simple for some people. Oh no, I've got to be a good person. I've got to go to theology. I've got to be a preacher. No. He that believeth on me shall not perish but have everlasting life. Even to them that believe, he said. Wonderful Jesus. Isn't he so wonderful? I love the gospel. It's pure, it's clean, it's uncomplicated. Even a child can understand. So he was the firstborn. Thank you, Lord. And the Acts, when we come into the family, we act like him. He said so in John 14:12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." The works that he did, we shall do. He prayed for the sick, we pray for the sick. He prayed for people to be saved, we pray for people to be saved. We are his attributes. We are his family. We have family attributes, that the same works that he did, we will also. Who believes that's amen? So, brother, sister, if we've not seen the signs following, we say, "Lord, there's something wrong. You promised it. If we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, Diane." That's for you. That's thus saith the Lord. Now let's believe it. Don't question it. Just say what he says. Wonderful Savior. Now we understand why Jesus was born. So how can we be born into the family of the firstborn? And doing so, receive the gift of eternal life. Just be by believing on his name. You say, "I'm not saved." You can be saved now. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
You can be saved now. You say, "What do I have to do?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Isn't that wonderful?
Jesus.
Who's glad to be a Christian? Who loves the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? So wonderful. Shall we stand for prayer? Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I love his word. I love the promises of God. Let's just pray for a moment. Does anybody here want to get saved? You can be saved today. What do you have to do? Nothing. He did it for you. Somebody said one day if Jesus was standing here in his Palestinian robes and jandals or sandals, whatever he had on, they said, "Oh, Jesus, you're here. Save me. Save me." He'd say, "Sorry, I can't save you." Why? "I've already saved you. Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me now. I want to be healed." He says, "I can't. I've already healed you." All you have to do is say, "Lord, I believe you." Let's say, "Praise the Lord." Just do what he said. Don't work it out in your brain. Just say, "Lord, I'm doing what you said to do," and he's obligated to keep his word. We should have a healing service here. I believe in God. What's the song you're playing? "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Hallelujah. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the gold that makes me white as snow. No. Wonderful words. Hallelujah. Wonderful words. "What my for my cleansing, this I see. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I plead. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I plead. Oh, let us sing. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white and strong. Oh, blood of my blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Brothers and sisters, you saints in America and Canada, India, Zambia, I can't hear you singing. You have to sing a bit louder. "Nothing can force it at all. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I am done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the gold that makes me white and strong. No other that I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And if anybody here that's not saved and you'd like to be saved this morning, I give the opportunity to come to the front of this church and give your life to Christ. You maybe didn't realize it was that simple, but it is simple. The children received him. A little child can come to God. "Except you become as little child, you shall in no wise see the kingdom of God," Jesus said. If you haven't given your life to Christ, you want to, you're welcome to come. We'll pray with you. God will save you and fill you with the Holy Ghost. "This is all my hope may be, nothing but the blood of Jesus. He is all my righteousness." Hallelujah! "Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white and strong. If there's anybody who would like healing for their body, Jesus is not only a savior of the soul, he's a healer of your body. He did it at the same time. The same work, he saved people, soul, and he healed their body. Who believes that? Say amen. If you have need of prayer, you're welcome to come. We're going to lay hands on you. in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if you lay hands on the sick, they could recover. They shall recover. Hallelujah. Now by this I overcome. You know, brother, sister, this is reality. It's reality. It's not what the church thinks, what I think. It's what Jesus said. So, Brother Tim, would you like to just come at this time?
Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Hallelujah. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. And when the battle is done and the victory is won, my Lord will carry you. When the world is on fire, you'll be my Jesus, to be your Savior. He'll ever hide in the rock of ages, the rock of ages, just with you. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Hallelujah. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. And when the battle is done and the victory,
wonderful message, isn't it? Praise the Lord. But you do have to walk in it. You do have to walk. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads in prayer and then thank the Lord for the food that we're going to have. And then we'll sing number 166. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, how we love your word, Lord, and how it speaks to our hearts, Lord. And we just receive it this morning, Lord. We walk in faith this morning in what you're in that finished work on Calvary, Lord. And we just rejoice, Lord Jesus, in your promises, Lord, and we just commit our time and fellowship into your hands at this time, a blessing upon the food, Lord, and the hands that prepared it, and give you all praise and all the glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing number 166, thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I once was lost, and now I'm found.
Dismissed at this time. There's a special lunch as well, so you're all welcome to eat.